Baron. Baron Hieronymus von Munchausen tells of his fantastical, unbelievable, and true adventures on land, at sea, and in the air.
My dear friend.
Yes, this is how the Baron would begin the story of his remarkable adventures, so greatly enjoyed by the gathering of friends in his castle at Bodenwerder almost 200 years ago. His listeners would settle themselves in front of the open fire, prime their pipes, and fill their glasses. And when the room had at last fallen silent, the Baron would take up his story.
My very dear friend, I'm quite sure you remember the journey I made to Russia some years ago. You were very much alarmed when I told you I intended to journey alone, on horseback, and in the depths of winter. You accused me of recklessness and quite forgot that I was perfectly familiar with the conditions I should encounter on the way. Your amazement at what you took to be my folly in attempting such a journey was shared by the brilliant and distinguished company in which I eventually found myself on arriving in St. Petersburg. Among the company was an old general, resplendent in court uniform, who attracted my attention right away by his habit of wearing his hat at the dinner table. It surprised me all the more since the old gentleman seemed, in every other respect, to be the very model of courtesy and good manners. The general had quite taken a fancy to me, and by a series of skilled maneuvers had at last forced me into the center of a little gathering where, of course, I had no choice but to accede to the demands of the lady's presence and tell them the story of my unusual journey.
Allow me to be the first to congratulate you.
I don't quite follow you, General.
Dead modest into the bargain. Pretty capital. Must say I can't think of a single fellow in the regiment who'd be willing to set off on a journey of that kind, alone, on horseback, and in the middle of winter. Especially knowing the conditions up here in the East.
Ah, but it was precisely because I knew the conditions in the East that I set out at all, General.
You mean you actually knew what you were taking on?
Most certainly. You see, General, I am, I confess, a great reader. And I seem to recall reading somewhere or other that there were a good deal more pitfalls in the roads of the East than on the stony path to paradise.
That's really good, eh, Colonel?
However, it seemed to me that the weather at this time of year enabled your government to save a great deal of money on road repairs, since snow and ice seal up the crevices which are such a hindrance to the traveler in summer. My horse, I assure you, is the most sure-footed creature imaginable, and we are both of a somewhat independent disposition.
I conclude, sir, that you and your horse simply ignore the freezing temperature as you ignore the holes in the road.
The temperature? Ah, now there, I admit, I had made perhaps a slight miscalculation. It had been my intention to ride only lightly clothed in order to reduce the weight for my mount. But I had forgotten that the good rider has little opportunity for exercise while he's in the saddle. And as the beast galloped at such a devil of a pace, I was soon entirely at the mercy of the north wind. I confess it was a most uncomfortable experience. And things got progressively worse the farther north I traveled.
Of course they did. You were soon frozen, I imagine.
Not at all.
No?
I had no intention of freezing to death, I assure you. And I did whatever I could to avoid it. Indeed, so anxious was I to strain every muscle in my body that I soon became uncomfortably warm. And when, on my way through Poland, I came across a poor wretch lying by the wayside dying of cold, I was only too glad to throw off my coat and place it entirely at his disposal.
Good God! You hear that, Colonel? He took his cloak off. Why, it's quite fantastic. Pray continue, Baron.
It was shortly after this episode that I landed myself in a devilishly tricky situation.
Well?
I'd been riding all through the night, and as I rode along, I could see no sights of town or village. It seemed to me like a landscape on the moon, but the snow lay thick and deep in every direction, and I could see not the slightest indication of habitation. Eventually, completely exhausted from this pain of the journey, I drew up my horse, dismounted, and tethered the creature to what appeared to be a tree trunk protruding from this snow-covered ground. I took out both my pistols. You see, I was anxious to take every possible precaution and clamped them firmly under my arm. Then I dug a hole for myself in the snow not far from my horse and fell into a deep and dreamless sleep. When at last I awoke, it was broad daylight, and what sight do you think met my eyes?
I can't imagine.
What? I found myself lying in a churchyard, flat in the middle of a village whose existence I hadn't even suspected the previous evening.
But your horse was still there?
Not at all. He had completely vanished. I searched everywhere for him, but in vain. At last, I thought I heard the poor animal whinnying. And imagine my surprise. There he was, up in the air.
Yes. Lying, of course.
Not at all. Hanging on the steeple of the church. There he was, tethered to the steeple, and suspended there for all to see. I realized at once what had happened.
Yeah, well, you did?
The village had been bedded beneath a snowdrift during the night. And then, as I slept, the thaw had set in, so that the mountain of snow gradually subsided, and I was carried gently downwards towards the ground. The tree stump to which I had tethered my horse
was, in reality, the church steeple sticking up out of the snow.
Precisely, General. I had tied my poor horse to...
And the poor beast. Still there, I suppose.
General, may I respectfully remind you that my name is Münchhausen?
Quite so. My apologies. You simply climbed up the steeple.
I did nothing of the kind. You forget, General, I still had my pistol. And I am well trained to use it. I merely took aim from below at the horse's rein, tethered my hand, and fired.
Then, severed it.
With a single shot, the rein snapped, releasing the trapped animal, who plunged downwards and landed, right as rain, on the ground beside me. Ascertaining quickly that everything was in order, I mounted, and off we rode again. Thank you. It was really nothing at all. General?
Yes, your servant, sir.
May I ask you a question?
That of course.
I am entirely convinced that you are a man of distinct sensibility.
Thank you, sir.
It surprises me, therefore, to observe that you insist on keeping your head covered. I noticed the fact earlier while we were at dinner. Is there any particular reason for this, peculiarity?
My dear sir, I beg your pardon. It had escaped my mind completely that you were a stranger in our midst and might therefore find my conduct surprising. I usually remember to explain my behavior to every newcomer in order to put his mind at rest. As it happens, Baron, it is the Turk who forced me to remain thus covered, and I don't mind telling you I resent it. I should hate you to think me merely impolite.
The Turk?
Yes, you see, I was recently engaged in our troublesome campaign against the Turks, and as you are obviously aware, they are the devil's own warrior. But their skill with a scimitar is legendary. In one affray in which I was involved, some fella sliced off the top of my head. Yes, absolutely. Clean as a whistle. No, the whole thing was thoroughly embarrassing. In fact, I went on being embarrassed until it occurred to me to order a silver leaf to be let into my skull. This, as you have observed, I conceal by keeping my hat on at all times. I should hate on that account to be considered guilty of a discourtesy, and I hasten to assure you that I am, in every other respect, a man of the greatest possible tact and consideration.
That is how the general explained to me his quite extraordinary idiosyncrasy. The ladies and gentlemen present were naturally highly amused at my bewilderment, and the rest of the evening was spent in the very best of high spirits. In Russia, it is customary to drink a great deal more than we drink here. I can only assume this is because of the bitterly cold climate, which certainly requires people to resort to some form of fortification. I quickly discovered that as far as the consumption of alcohol was concerned, the general was a man quite without equal. His capacity was enormous, and on occasions I saw him consume the contents of several bottles of brandy without the slightest difficulty. As far as I know, he was never known to suffer any ill effects, and I was curious to discover how he managed to stay so remarkably sober. At last, I hit upon his secret. From time to time, he moved aside from the assembled company, and on one of these occasions, I observed that he removed his hat, opened the silver lid beneath it, and the fumes of the alcohol he had consumed escaped from his head to form a dense cloud in the earth. I was intrigued by my discovery and determined to keep behind him whenever he disengaged himself from the crowd. At last, he moved aside, and I followed. Lighting my pipe, I placed myself immediately behind him, and as he lifted the silver lid to allow the fumes to escape, I lit a taper from my pipe and set light to the fumes. The cloud rising up to the ceiling became a single ball of flame, and the consternation that broke out at this spectacle I can leave to your imagination. The general was not in the least put out by the trick I had played him. And so taken was he by the devilish appearance he assumed as surmounted by a column of flame, that he readily agreed to repeat the experiment whenever any of the ladies present expressed the wish to observe. But here, my dear friends, I must end my story for today. I know you are anxious to hear more, but I fear you will soon be far too sleepy to appreciate the niceties of the many adventures I still have to tell you. And let us agree to meet again soon, when I will tell you more of my experiences on my journey to Russia. That is, I assure you, more, much, much more to tell.
And community needs of the capital area, this is WANU-FM, American University Radio in Washington, D.C., first on the dial at 88.5.